In the Song of Moses, we are still talking about Israel's early history. We're going to be getting into the period of the prophets, then a time of the persecuted nation, then a time of the faithful judge, then the period of the bowls. All of this, can you believe it, in the Song of Moses. That Moses was quite a prolific guy. I picture him sitting by the campfire with his acoustic guitar, strumming it, and coming up with the lyrics of this song. Remember the days of the eon, brum, brum. Understand the years, generation after generation. And maybe a little percussion could be provided by Aaron, his brother Aaron. You know, why not? Brum. I would listen to that song, but the lyrics are profound. And today we are going to, I got to tell you this first. This is strange, really, because it is so weird that the same token by which God blesses Israel, he uses to corrupt them. And I think this is interesting. He gives them the fat of the land. He gives them land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey, isn't that a strange combination? That's always what Scripture says to describe the richness, the milk and honey. It's like the best you can do. But think of where milk comes from. It comes from a goat udder. So it's like you milk a goat udder. It's a goat tit, really, isn't it? Goat tits produce milk, and this is fantastic. And honey is bee spit. So I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bring you to a land of the product of goat tits and bee spit, and this is going to be the best thing for you. But yet God's richest treasures come from the most unlikely places. Where do we find pearls? In a frickin' oyster at the bottom of the ocean. So, and then what else? Gold in the walls of caves or in the ground. You dig it up. It's all this stuff is buried. Caviar. What is so great about caviar? It's fish eggs. Who decides this stuff is great? What are truffles? Truffles are gross. I forget what they are. But the things God considers to be delicacies are things that we humans wouldn't first of all think. I tell you what, let's make grape juice better. What are we going to do? Let's let it go rotten. Let's let it spoil. And then it's going to be fantastic. Okay, sounds like a plan. But the weird thing is that God actually uses the blessings to corrupt Israel because they don't know how to use it. The key in life is knowing how to use God's blessings and not abuse them. I talk about this all the time in 1 Corinthians 7 or 9, is it? About how using this world's goods, but not using it up. Don't put your trust in it. And this is Israel's problem. It's like, God's like, I can't even be nice to you. And you start to obsess over bee spit. And so, come on. You know, there's a proverb in, is it, Samson sang a song or made up some kind of proverb about honey. He said, honey is sweet, but too much of it makes the stomach sick. Same with wine. A little bit is great. It makes you happy, but then too much of it makes you drunk, and this is not good. Too much honey is not good. Too much goat tit thing is not good either. So you have to be wise, exercise wisdom with these things. And this is the thing that Israel cannot do, because they are primarily soulish, because they get all hung up and stuck up about their place in God's program. Like, we're the people, you're the suckers, so suck it up, and we're going to rule over you. And they become surfeited with soulish desires. And this is their undoing. But for now, for now, that's fine for them. I mean, this is the place, this is the part of the program God has them in. And unfortunately, folks, you see, they are corrupting the rest of the world with their business. They're taking their business and they're selling their business. And so the rest of the world, it is becoming corrupt, much as Far Eastern places, nice old-fashioned places where people used to live in wonderful thatched huts and they ate healthy food. The West has traditionally corrupted places. I'll never forget years ago reading an article about the first McDonald's that came to the Soviet Union. I don't know. Maybe it was Leningrad or some hardcore Russian place. And the people were relatively healthy. They eat native foods, maybe. I don't know what Russian people eat. But as soon as the McDonald's came, they all became fat. Because Western culture corrupts when we take our dietary sins and export them. Well, that's exactly what has happened with Israel, because she thinks that more is better, and this is now the measure of our success, how much stuff we have, how much blessing God has given us, and so we're going to assume that it's good for everybody else, and we're going to sell it to them, and by this means we're going to corrupt them. That was not even my topic for today. I don't even want to talk about what I just talked about, so I refuse to talk about it anymore, and you're not going to make me. Nothing you can do or say can make me talk about that anymore. Let's go to verse 10 of chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. Why are we in Deuteronomy if we're doing a series on the book of Revelation? Because if you go to the beginning of chapter 15 of Revelation, the seven messengers who are about to pour out the seven bowls, the seven last calamities, sing the song of Moses. Highly inappropriate. Oh, no, it's not. It's very appropriate because Israel is here reminded of God's care for them and the fact that he favors them above any other nation. And as we discovered yesterday, he actually distributes the nations in accord with where Israel is. And he judges them when Christ returns in accord with how they treated his people Israel. So this is where God is finding him. This is a review of Israel's history from the Song of Moses. He is finding him in a land, him, that's the sons of Israel, Jacob, I guess you might say. He is finding him in a land that is a wilderness and in a waste, howling desolation. Okay, I love this truth. He's finding this nation. It's a small nation. It was not chosen because it was great, but because it was little. And now God can show what he can do with little raw material. That's the greatest thing ever. I remember when I started my newsletter, my first newsletter, back in 1993, the Idle Babbler Illustrated. I had this El Cheapo, if I can put some Spanish lingo in there, clip art book or software. And what computer did I have? I had a Tandy 386. I got it at Radio Shack. That was my first computer. It was amazing at the time. But anyway, so I had like 10 clip art images, very poor, but I would use what I had and I would make something of it. And people were interested in the creativity of what you can do with very little. In fact, I've heard the Beatles say that the best music they made was because they only had like four tracks in the studio, or maybe two tracks. None of this 175 tracks, because then you can add all kinds of layers, then the music gets complicated, then you use that raw human element. I love rock and roll, where the bands, there's just four guys playing at the same time with one microphone. Great rock and roll. Minimalist style rock and roll. And so this minimalist thing, I just love it, because this is what God chooses to make himself look good. When you're minimalist, when he calls you in a wilderness, when he calls you in a howling wasteland, then it's his work that is highlighted, not yours. And it's, you love to see how creative God can be with crappy raw material. Look at us, the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. Look at Israel. He calls them in a wilderness, a land that's a wilderness, a waste, a howling desolation. If there's anything I hate worse than a desolation, it's a howling desolation. On the other hand, I might say this, if there's anything I like better than a desolation, it's a howling desolation. the more howling, the better, because now God shows his achievement. He is finding him there. So he is surrounding him. He is making him understand. Surrounding him, making him understand. Did I talk about that active verb yesterday? Maybe I did. But I like this surrounding business. God is surrounding them. This is what Israel is going to forget in her straitness, in the time of trial, that God is surrounding her, him, in this case. The one example I always think of there is Elijah and Elisha, when they're in Dothan, and the king of Aram is coming out against them, and the servant of Elijah, namely Elisha, looks out and sees the armies of Aram, and he says, oh my God, we're in trouble. And he can't understand why his boss Elijah is sleeping. Elisha can't, because he's the little apprentice. He's the wannabe Elijah. And so he wakes up the man, and he says, we're in trouble. Oh, the armies of Aram are surrounding us. And, you know, the man wakes up. It's like, come here, kid. Kid, come. Takes him outside. And he says to him, the armies that are surrounding us are greater than the armies surrounding them. And Elisha goes, what are you talking about? I don't see him. I don't see him. And Elijah was nice, but he just kind of rolled his eyes like, oh, Lord, show this little peewee Herman here the truth. And so suddenly Elisha's eyes are opened up to what Elijah could see all the time, the armies of God surrounding the armies of Aram. And so that was a great thing to see. And so they both then went back to their little cots, their respective cots, and all was good after that, because God is surrounding. So this is what they need to see in the time of Jacob's, commonly referred to as Jacob's trouble, is that God is surrounding them. Even though they can't visibly see it, that's where faith comes in. And that's where our faith comes in as well, because we have all these blessings, tons and tons of blessings, but they're all invisible blessings. Well, not all of them. We have some visible blessings. Let me see. Well, here's one of my visible blessings. I have, if you're looking at the laundry cam, I have a stapler here. That's a visible blessing. I can't believe I have that. I have paper towels. I have this roll of paper towels that I can just take one piece off at a time, and they keep coming. Ga-zing, ga-zing, ga-zing. It's so great of a blessing. And instead of putting my coffee like in my cupped hands, I have this mug here. So I have many blessings that I can see. But most of our blessings, spiritual blessings, are invisible. Justification. Can you see it? What is it? Can you touch it? No. Peace. The peace of God that is superior to every frame of mind. It's invisible. But just because it's invisible, hello, it doesn't mean it's not there. And that's what I would tell Israel, that just because your blessings are in, just because your protection is invisible, doesn't mean it's not there. And if you're appointed to die by the sword, then that's an ultimate blessing, because you're gonna have a red carpet into the kingdom, not 70 virgins or whatever the Islamic equivalent of the red carpet is, but there is a better resurrection. And so if you're suffering any kind of trial today, and I know you are, then it means a better resurrection. That is a transadministrational truth. I love to use that word every chance I get. Transadministrational. That means it applies to the administration of the body of Christ and the administration of Israel. That the more you suffer, the higher you go. And we're all saved. Come on. We're all going to be with God for eternity, but there are different levels of salvation. Of course, we will live up to what God has appointed to us, and we will desire what God wants for us. This has been Martin Zender at the Revelation Series. I will be back here tomorrow, and I trust, I hope that you will be too.